Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
If you're sick, you don't want a medical book. You want a doctor. If you're being sued, you don't want a law book. You want a lawyer. And when it comes to salvation, we don't need a book on theology. We need a person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage today from John chapter 11, we're going to find out that Jesus is the one who provides to us both life, eternal life, and the transition in between. Today we're talking in this series we're calling Risen about resurrection. As we prepare to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, let's just get our hearts and minds wrapped around this amazing concept of resurrection. Now, let me just kind of set the scene for you, if I can, here in John chapter 11. This is the story of the raising of Lazarus. And if you have some experience in this passage, you know all about it. But Jesus was friends with Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And word was received from the sisters that Lazarus was very, very sick. And here was the guy who had healed everybody, healed thousands of people of their various diseases. And he's sick, and they expect him to come, but he delays in coming. In fact, he arrives 4 days after that request for him to come. And in his coming, when he comes, Lazarus has already been dead and in the grave for multiple days. It seems like he's too late. It seems like on our scale, sometimes God shows up too late. But we also know on his time scale, he is always on time. And as this unfolds, let's just pick it up if we can. Here in the text, in verse 21, Martha goes out to meet him, and she says, "Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.'" So there you see her leaning forward a little bit in her faith. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day." So she has faith. She knows Jesus could do whatever Jesus decides to do. And she also, when he talks about rise again, she knows that there is this resurrection for the redeemed out there in the future sometime. But then Jesus shockingly and startling fashion, he brings her to a new reality about himself. And he says this in 25-26, and this is the bulk of our message today, our text. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Well, let's just start with this reality. When it comes to resurrection, based on the words of the Lord Jesus, here's what we know, that we have a Savior who can raise the dead. We have a Savior who says that he can. We have a Savior who, we'll find out a little bit later, demonstrates it. But we're just on this, looking at his ability. And look what it says in verse 25, okay? It says there, "I am the resurrection and the life." I am. Now, if you're a student of the Bible, those two words put together, "I am," to start that sentence, should say something very special to us. It should take us all the way back to Exodus chapter 3, in verses 13 and 14, in the midst of a narrative of Moses encountering God at that burning bush scene. Moses asks, he's being called to go back to Egypt to deliver his people from years and years of bondage. And he says, "When they ask me, 'What is your name?' what will I tell them?" It's interesting, God doesn't really give them a name in the normal sense, but he says, "You tell them, 'I am that I am.' You tell them, 'I am sent you.'" Now, that's a mysterious title, but it speaks of God's self-sufficiency. In and of himself, he is all that needs to be, and he is everything that is to be. And he just exists eternally. He's sort of not locked into time. He's beyond. He transcends everything that makes up our universe and our experience as members of the human race. So he says, "I am." You tell him, "I am," has sent you. And it's a name and a concept that's beyond us. And God is way beyond us. We can't figure him out. We can't get our minds wrapped around who he is. So he says, "I am." So when Jesus says, "I am the resurrection, the life," it's a way of us remembering who he is. And that's what we need to do. Remember who he is. He is that "I am" of the Old Testament. And often in John, several times in John, he makes reference to Jesus using that same term, "I am." Okay, he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the great good shepherd," and all those sorts of things. And there's an interesting statement over in chapter 18, just a little bit further in the text, where Judas is leading a band of people to come out and arrest Jesus. Okay, they're going to arrest him, and you know what happens that night and the next day. It's heading right into the crucifixion. And in verse 4, Jesus says of chapter 18, "Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, 'Who are you seeking?' They answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said to them, 'I am.'" Notice if you're reading this in the text, it's on the screen here, the "he" is in italics. He just says, "I am." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with him. And look at verse 6. "Now when he said to them, 'I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground." Basically, they were like bowling pins just knocked over. There's power in that name. So when Jesus says, I am, he is a Savior who can do what he says he will do. All the promises that are just jam-packed into this Bible, into the Word of God, he can pull them off. We can make promises, and sometimes we have every intention to keeping them, but circumstances and our inability or opportunity or lack thereof, we can't pull it off. He always can pull off. He always has the opportunity. So he can. And remember what he gave. Now, look back at verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. I'm going to look at those in reverse order. Talk about life first, then go to resurrection. Remember what he has given us. The very fact that we live is a gift from God. Now, I'm going to just say this to you, and you can kind of feel it and experience it. But just think about the next breath you're taking. That was a gift of God. The fact that you have that ability, that the oxygen is removed from all the other gases that are in our atmosphere to put oxygen in our body and keep us going. In fact, it tells us in Genesis that God breathed into Adam, our first father, the breath of life. He is the giver of life. So he gives us this life. It is a gift. If he can make life out of non-life, and God's the only one that can pull that one off, then he can. He can do all things. He can do everything. This should do some things for us. We should just be able to trust him with our lives and the days of our lives. So he's the giver of life. But also remember what he will give, okay? And that's that part where he says, I am the resurrection and the life. See, there is this forward in our forward thinking here. As we think of, you know, our past, he's given us life. As we think, as we now move into the future, that he someday will give us this experience. We already have it, but the experience of eternal life. We will live forever. We're never going to die. And we're going to exist forever. And where we exist forever determines on what we've done with the free gift of God given to us through Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation received by faith. So he will give us eternal life. But here's the hinge point. Here's the bridge between those two. Between the life, which is a gift, eternal life, which is a gift, he can pull off the transition from one to the other, and that is done via resurrection. Now, we also understand that when a person dies as a believer, their soul immediately goes into the presence of the Lord. The body is laid to rest in accordance with our traditions, okay? So we understand that. But someday, even the body will be redeemed and be raised from the grave. And that he will complete that process of all that is us will be brought together, will be given a new body like unto his glorious body. Like the hints we get of the body that Jesus had after his own resurrection. So he will give us eternal life, and he can get us from this life to that eternal, full eternal life experience through his power. Now here's a question. This is where I get called up short, and maybe you'll have the same experience. Do you live like he can? Because he can. Now, let's just think of a couple scenarios. Just think about something that scares you, that makes you afraid. Maybe it's the future. Maybe it's your own condition. Maybe it's some situation. Maybe some person, some danger that is out there. You know, when you're afraid, we need to come back to the reality that God can. If he's given us life, he's going to give us eternal life someday. He's given us life. He's going to give us eternal life someday. And he can bridge the gap by resurrection. He can take care of today too. So what do you do? You need to give him our lives. Say, Lord, this is in your hands. If I'm at the point where my life is ending, I don't need to fear that. It may not be what I'd choose, but I don't need to fear death because I know what awaits. In the scariness of this life, he says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm strong enough. I'm big enough. I care enough. I'm there for you. Just release your fears and rest in him. And then think about a situation where you're succeeding. You know, some victory, you look at some achievement you've had. Maybe you've moved up in your career. Maybe you've achieved certain things. Maybe you've gotten some feedback from someone that you find very, very kind of encouraging and a blessing to you from something you've done or some skill that you have. Well, you need to then turn that around and say, thank you, Lord. Give him the credit. Give him the praise. Offer your thanks and praise back to him because he can, and that's what we're seeing in his life. So confidence in our fears. We need to have praise in those moments of life when we see our lives succeeding. Question again, do you live like he can? He can. He can. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what we trust in. That's what we count on. Now, he's not only that, he's a Savior who not only can, but a Savior who will. He will raise the dead, okay? So let's think about this. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Now, this sounds a little confusing, so okay, get your mind fully in gear here, okay? Don't let your mind wander here for a moment, okay? Because it sounds contradictory, doesn't it? It says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's what he says in 26. Back in 25, he says, though he may die, he shall live. So the first is, even if you die, you're going to live. And we just kind of went through that. That's that resurrection, bridging the gap from this life to eternal life, okay? So if you die, you're going to live. And he's, you know, Lazarus is laying in a tomb when this takes place. And we understand that for us and others. But then he turns around and says, you know, says this, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. So if you're living and you believe in him, you're not going to die. So how can it be you will die and live again, but if you believe, you'll not die? Well, it's obvious he's talking on two levels here. He's talking about the body, which is certainly us, part of us. And he's talking about the immaterial part of us. We would call that the soul. So let's just break those apart. And here's what he promises, and we're going to see that he will. This is what he's going to do for Lazarus, and he's going to demonstrate that here in this text. It's what he's going to do for all of us, and he will. He will do that. He can do it, and he will do it. That's the exciting part. So he says to us, for our body, even though you die, you will live. The soul goes immediately to be with the Lord. The body will be resurrected when Christ returns. And those who are alive and remain, we're told, will be at that moment will be caught up to meet the Lord. And all the bride of Christ, all the church of the Lord Jesus, is going to be gathered into his presence, both dead and living. And we have this eternal experience then in that status of our resurrected bodies and our being in his presence. What a grand and glorious truth that is, and we need to rest in it. So that's for the body. But then for the soul, that's what he's talking about in 26. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. The soul doesn't die. You know, and I kind of imagine, sometimes maybe you've imagined, what's that experience of transition going to be like? We just have to use our imagination. We really don't know except the bare parameters of the transaction. But what's it actually be like experience? I don't know, but the soul will experience it all. It never ceases to be conscious. It never ceases to be knowing and aware. So we just will leave this life, and we step into eternal life in the Lord's presence. What a beautiful thought. You know, oftentimes we talk about someone who's passed away. I love that they've gone to be with the Lord. That's the way we should say it for a believer. And someday, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go and be with the Lord, and so will I. And someday, some great day, there's an old hymn that says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Someday we're all from all ages, times, people groups, languages, nations, all that, going to be gathered together when we all get to heaven. That will be a day of rejoicing because his work of redemption of this group of people that he calls his church, he calls his bride, will be complete. So the soul, it is death, then life. Excuse me, said that wrong. The body, it is death, then life. For the soul, it is life, then life. Okay? So the question is, he has this question you see in the end of 26. Let me just read all of 26. Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, he says that from Jesus' lips to Martha's ear. Do you believe this? And she says in 27, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So she confesses her belief that whatever he says, she believes. And she certainly believes this. And she has her confidence and faith in what Jesus says. But the question is, do you believe? Is your confidence and faith in what Jesus has said as well? You see, this is not just, some people like this brand of car, some people like that model, make of car. You know, it's just an opinion. This is not an opinion that really is not essential to nail down. This one is essential because it determines where you will spend all eternity. It also determines the quality of the life we're living now, to be becoming more like the Lord Jesus. What a great and exciting prospect that is. And he's not giving up on us. He's willing to change us more into who Jesus is. So he asks us to believe and ask us if we do believe. If you do believe, friend, let that just put a smile of rejoicing on your face. Let that be as you sing today, as you pray today, as you live this day, as you experience this day, just offer your heart and your words and your actions to the Lord because he has saved you. Because he says, do you believe? But go back to what he said before, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That's the words of the Lord Jesus, and you can count on them. Because why? Because he will. When it comes to resurrection, he can and he will. Question, do you believe? Now, let me just say, maybe there's someone with us today that's never come to the point that you do believe in the Lord Jesus. And this is an invitation to you, because he says, whoever lives and believes in me, you're living, got that down, right? But whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's a promise from Jesus Christ to you. All you need to do is believe in him. You need to believe that you need a Savior. We need a Savior because sin has separated us from God. Our own misbehavior, our own moral failures, our own choices have separated us from a God who is 100% totally, completely, extraordinarily holy, totally holy. So we're separated from him. The wages of sin is death. The price for paying for our sins is death. So we didn't have to pay it. Jesus paid it for us when he went to the cross. He died as our substitute. He died to take our place. And in that death of his, there was the payment made. He who knew no sin, we're told in the scriptures, became sin for us. He took our place. And now the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. These words of the Lord Jesus will be for you. Maybe you're ready to make that commitment right now. You could just stop right now and just tell the Lord in a very simple prayer that you know you're a sinner, you know Jesus is the Savior, and right now you're accepting this gift of salvation because you believe, and by means of the fact that you believe he died for you. You believe that will grant you salvation. And if you put your faith in him, he will save you, not just for time, but for eternity. And even though the body may die someday, that body will be resurrected. And even with the soul's point of view, you never die. You just step from this point into that point. What a grand truth that is. You rest in that. You cling to that. You hold tight to that. And if we could help you with that decision, maybe you say, I still have a few questions. I really want to be sure. Could you make sure you show me right from the pages of Scripture that this is true? I don't want to just take your word on it. I want to hear from God. We'd be glad to just point you in the right direction. We want you to hear from God, but we'd be able to point you in the right direction. Me or one of our pastors on staff would be glad to talk to you, to help you understand. We're not going to push you. We're not going to trick you. We're not going to manipulate you. We just want to share the truth with you and allow the Lord to speak to you and draw you to himself. Don't put this off, because this is a key, crucial, essential, don't overlook it, don't miss it, don't ignore it, question from the Lord Jesus. Verse 26, one more time. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Now, we've said two things. When it comes to resurrection, we have a Savior who can, and we have a Savior who will, and thirdly, we have a Savior who did. It is proven by what he's already accomplished, and that's the story that unfolds here, and also what unfolded 3 days after he was crucified, dead, and buried, when he came back to life and was risen from the dead, because that's what God does and can do. But in this story, He goes to the tomb of Lazarus, and this is, if you want to skip down to like 43 or so in the text, and I'll just read it for you. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice. Okay, the stone had been moved from the tomb of Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. If he hadn't localized it, if he hadn't filtered it with the word Lazarus, if he just said, come forth, the power of God, every grave would immediately been evacuated. But he says, Lazarus, you're the one he's calling. This is a demonstration. This is not the resurrection of everybody, but this is a demonstration to show you and to show me and to show everybody that indeed not only can he and will he's already done it. It's been demonstrated. Look at verse 44. And he who had died, think of that statement, dead. He who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Something remarkable happens in the very next verses, and it flows all the way into chapter 12. The people who were opposed to Jesus, this was their last straw. If he's going to raise the dead, everybody's going to believe in him. So they plot to destroy him, to capture him, to kill him. And interesting, over in chapter 12, beginning in verse 9, they put a plot, basically they put a price, they put a contract out on Lazarus because they want to kill him too. You think about this. How did this work out? We're going to kill Jesus because everyone's going to believe in him. They put him in a tomb after his death. 3 days later, you have an empty tomb and a risen Savior. For Lazarus, they want to kill him to destroy the evidence. Well, he's already been dead once and brought back to life. I mean, the amazing route that people go to in their disbelief is shocking. What they should have done is what we need to do. Just come and believe in him. So we have a Savior who did. He did it for Lazarus. He also did it for himself. And this is over in chapter 20 of the same book. And this is John's account of the resurrection. I don't have time to go through the entire account. But that evening, the evening of that Sunday of his resurrection, it says in verse 19, Then the same day at evening, when the first day being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, when the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." There he was. They saw him. They saw him. They saw him multiple times. They saw him in different venues. And we're told over in 1 Corinthians in 15 that he appeared to more than 500 brothers, believers in Christ, at one time. This was no hallucination. This was no fraud. This was no hoax. They saw him. He was risen from the dead. Verse 20, "And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." So they saw him. It's true for Lazarus. It's true for himself. But I got one more. Don't miss this one. We are told in 1 Corinthians, and basically Paul takes an entire chapter of the Bible to tell us about our resurrection and where this is going to go. And it's an amazing account, and I've taught it before, but I just want to dip into just a little bit because it's an amazing truth. Because here's the reality. He did. It's for Lazarus, for himself, and also they'll come to the point that it'll be true for us. In chapter 15, I should say, of 1 Corinthians, Paul writes this, verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And that's his picture, his word, his term, his euphemism for death. We're not all going to experience death, and there's hope for us. If Christ comes back in our lifetime, we won't even have physical death either. But if we leave this life before Christ comes back, even though he's dead, he will live. And for the soul, if he lives and believes in Christ, never die. Remember those words from the Lord Jesus. "Not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And here it is. "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet," that's when, "for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible." No more to die, to decay, all the things of aging and the process of death. "And we shall be changed." Who's the we? The we are those who are alive and believers in Christ at that moment. Immediately go to be with the Lord. The promise is, he has for Lazarus. He has in his own experience of resurrection. And yes, it awaits, but it's as good as done for us, the resurrection to the newness of life. Here's the question on this one. Do you appreciate this? Do we respond to it? Are we really trying and trusting? And we've been using those words in a set joined together, doing, depending, trying, trusting. It all fits. Trying and trusting to overcome the weaknesses you know in your life. We should do that because he has the power to change the dead into the living. And he has the power to change the living more into the likeness of Christ. Maybe it's some temptation that you feel particularly drawn to. Maybe you just need to say, I really need to work on that. I need to give myself to that. I need to pray. I need to seek help. I need to keep working on that. And we do that as a means of appreciating this change that he's promised us. Also, maybe you have some victories in your life. Maybe you have a tendency to be selfish or to lash out when things don't go your way. But maybe maybe one of those trigger points came into your life, and you know what? With God's help and prayer and the Spirit of God, you didn't lash out. You held your tongue. You responded in love rather than retribution. That you maintained your composure. You maintained your testimony of what a believer is supposed to live and act like. If you have those kind of victories, then you need to say, Lord, I just thank you for that. I do so, and I just do so appreciate where I see you in my life. So whether we're struggling and working or whether we've seen victory, it all comes back. We appreciate it because here's the source. Resurrection is all about Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. He's a Savior who is. He's a Savior who can. He's a Savior who will raise the dead. We have that promise, and he will do that for us. And he's a Savior who already has. He's a God who already has. Lazarus came out of that tomb. Now Lazarus died again. It's not the permanent resurrection, but it's a demonstration of what his power can do. For Jesus, he rose from the grave never to die again. And that'll be our experience someday. I hope that encourages you. You know, the fact that we serve a risen Lord, we know that he is living. He's in the world today. We serve a risen Lord. You worship and serve him today. And let those words from John 11, 25, 26, that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Let those encourage you and push you on in your life living for the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for being part of our study today.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may his blessing be yours.